relax and get loose while I put you up on game. The Figure Booth with Josh and Nate, this that podcast for those in the know. Batman versus Iron Man, how would it go? We talking one of a kind, collectibles, Mezco toys are respectable. It's unacceptable if it's not in the packaging. Nate don't take pics if you ain't repping it. Nate's dirty tricks are always happening, but damn it, man, don't you be stressing. Round here we believe in plastic confessions. We trying to figure out the figures that's gonna stand the test of time. That G.I. Joe handmade hit me in the spine. There's perfection in the way that these toys are made. But I also wanna know, do I pick Wade or Slade? So this is where I come to kick it with the guys. The Figure Booth, like, comment, and subscribe.
What is up, Toy Fam? Welcome back to another episode of The Figure Booth. I am your host, Josh, a.k.a. Prime to the First.
Hey, guys. This is Nate, a.k.a. Figure Fan underscore Nate. And this is episode 36, which we're calling The Onslaught.
The Onslaught is ready, and it's coming down hard.
Oh, man. It's already hitting us hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your wallets are already begging for mercy, and this is just the beginning.
And man, coming back from DesignerCon and having my enablers trip, I think it was, it's already a lot, you know, hanging out one with fellow collectors and being able to just get to meet individuals in person, that was epic, right? But then when you're hunting or hitting up spots where you have the ability to get them in hand and not have to wait for that delivery time or the shipping, like that's where I look at my wallet and I'm like, hey, you better be scared because it's about to go down. Because you know, you either run into good deals or you run into figures that you're on the fence, and your fellow enabler is going to look at you and be like, hey, dude, just get it. Like, worst case scenario, you can trade it or you can sell it or you can return it. Just get right. it while here it's in hand. That's probably the most dangerous position to be in.
Well, they're not called the enablers for nothing.
That's right.
And with trips like that, as you know, anytime I go to a con, I definitely plan for the fact that I'm going to be spending money.
Right.
Because like you said, you know, that's, you can't beat being able to grab it in person,
yeah,
look at it, and then take it home.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes out the middleman.
And like even going to DesignerCon, right? Like I remember walking the floor with Mike, High School Creations, and even Mario, Mr. Cha-Cha himself, Captain Morgan. But when you walk up to a booth and you're like, okay, this is kind of cool. And you're looking at it. And then you're thinking in your head, all right, this is kind of cool, but I don't know. And then Mike would be like, oh, no, that's pretty dope. Mario's all, dude, get it. Like that's all, and then that's it. Then you're handing over your card or your cash, and you're walking with a bag full of stuff that you're like, okay, what just happened? Like you black out, and I think that's awesome because even going hunting to yourself, you can talk yourself out of stuff. Or if you're like you kind of walk the floor and you're like, you know, you do this back and forth. But I think when you have fellow enablers around you, it's just like, no, do it, and right, you end up walking out with like 2-3 bags. So.
Yeah, it's amazing how influential a friend can be when he said, no, that's fire. That thing's sick.
Yeah.
You know, you're thinking to yourself like,
yeah,
I don't know. That's not really for me. And then you have a friend that's like, no, this is badass.
And you're like, okay, yeah, it is badass. Like,
oh yeah, yeah, it is really cool. Let me grab it.
I'm going to grab it before he grabs it. And you're like, you know what? Right. Yes, you grab two.
Yeah. It's like when I go to a toy shop and I see some guy looking at the same thing I am, I'll just put it in my hand. I'm like, all right, that's mine.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're like, maybe I don't buy it.
You're like, I'm not even into Roblox. Why am I grabbing this set?
Right, but he's looking at it real hard, so I want to take it from him.
Yeah,
yeah, and you know, it's part of the fun. But then you come home and you start realizing, like, oh shit, I spent a lot of money. You know,
yeah,
it was fun, but you know, you spend money and you collect figures, and it starts to pile up, and then it can get stressful. And then now we're in this part of the season, November, December, where you see a lot of pre-orders getting fulfilled,
right,
and a lot of companies are doing the holiday releases, and there's Black Friday sales going on, and it's just like we're talking about, it's an onslaught. You feel like you just can't manage. And then on top of all of that, you've got Christmas coming,
right?
So you've got gifts for the family you got to consider.
Yeah.
And you don't want to put your family last in line. You're like, yeah, let me get all my figures, and then whatever I have left, you guys are going to get some gift with the remaining $50 that I have.
I want to make you a cat out of macaroni,
right?
Like a little robot macaroni cat.
Or in your case, you can just give them arcades. Like, hey, here's an arcade.
They're going to be like, I don't want this fucking piece. This guy.
Yeah. It's hard, man. It's hard to manage. And there's just, it's coming at you from all angles. And I'm feeling the same thing that you are. I feel like a lot of people in the community are feeling that same thing. There's just a lot of dropping figures. There's a lot of new pre-orders. So it's like, how do you manage your budget while being a figure collector?
And around the holiday season, it's super hard too, because like some of these pre-orders that hopefully they've already been, you know, again, depending on how you place them or where you place them. Sometimes you can place them, you don't have to pay up front. You know, others, you've paid up front. Those ones, we're not too concerned about those, because those, that's already money that's accounted for and it's coming out.
Right.
But it's the pre-orders that are like, for example, Target, it's just pending. And then they get pushed back. You're like, okay, I have time. It's probably going to get delivered after Christmas. I'm going to do some Christmas shopping. And then all of a sudden you get like, hey, we're shipping all this stuff out. And now, you know, like my Retro Fantastic Four just got shipped out. Some of my stuff from Pulse got shipped out, which usually Pulse is the last one to ship out items. So it feels like this backlog of shipments that's happening with the supply chain and all this stuff out there. We're starting to see some light, right? That definitely takes a toll where you're like, oh, damn, now this pre-order's kicked in. You know, these Mafex are still getting pushed back. But then with one pushback, two or three other legends start coming through, right? Because I think legends, if anything, they're the ones that are pretty consistent of still continuing to fill that pipeline. And sometimes they drop like multiple waves all at once. And then you got the deals. Right now it's probably the toughest time, because some of these deals, they're crazy. You're going to see some prices on legends or other figures you've had your eye on. And the minute they start dropping under $15, you're like, oh, I got to get them. I got it. Yeah. Sorry, Jimmy, you're not going to get your scooter this year. You're going to get a helmet, and I'm going to get my figures. That's the part that sucks. I'm like, yeah, I just like this trip, man, we went crazy. And I'm like, that's it. I'm done. I can't be buying stuff. But then I see deals and I'm like, how can I turn a blind eye to that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's real tough. And it goes back to one of those topics that we talked about, like having that goal for your collection.
Yeah.
I think it's something that we have to like make sure that we remind ourselves of, is that we should have a specific goal that it's in mind. And just because something's on sale doesn't mean you necessarily have to buy it.
Right.
And if you weren't considering it ahead of time, just because you're saving $5, maybe, you know, think about it like, okay, do I really want this? Or do I only want it because it's on sale and it's a good deal?
And I would say I would only buy it because it's on sale.
Right. And I do the same thing where I see stuff that's on sale.
Yeah, and I get your point, because that's really, we should stick to that goal. Like, it's, yeah, it, that's the tough part. Like, how do I not let my collection get out of control? Because a lot of us, I think we feel that we get to a point where like, man, I'm continuously running out of space. And I think that's a general consensus for a lot of us collectors, that we're always struggling for space. You know, real estate in our, whether it's your room, your shelf, or you have your whole garage or whatever the case may be, you're always struggling to find more space, but we're sometimes buying at impulse. Like, how do I avoid that impulse buy? That's freaking really hard. I met some cool dudes out there during our trip where they were like, nope, I'm only you know, this type of line, whether it's Mezco, Hasbro, and they're like, that's all I stick to, or I'm only a Mighty Morphin Power Ranger and that's it. And I'm like, damn, that's really tough. And kudos to them, because I wish I could just like put my blinders on and disregard all these deals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely, I hats off to the people that can stay real focused in their collections and not cave under pressure like a lot of us tend to do. And I think there's the FOMO that plays into it too. You know, you feel like, okay, I wasn't really considering this figure at full price,
right?
But now that it's $15, I'm a little bit more willing, and I'm worried that if I don't jump on this, it's going to jump back up to $20 or $22, and I'm going to miss out on that deal and I'm going to regret it.
Yeah.
You know, and the community plays a big part in that too, because you see what people are buying. Like we talked about before with friends, you know, if you're not really considering something, but then all of a sudden you see 10 or 12 different story posts about it, you're like, oh, well, I can get one.
Yeah.
And they're readily available and it's on sale.
Yeah.
So let me go and get that.
Yeah.
But I have to keep reminding myself that that's not even something I cared about.
Yeah.
2 months ago.
Yeah.
You know? So now that it's on sale, I should still not care about it.
Yeah. And man, like, how do we do that? How do we avoid seeing, like, there's usually, at least on my feed, like a trend where I see there's one or two figures on everyone's desk that everyone's having fun with that I may have or may not have. And when I have it, I'm like, oh, cool. I already have that guy. Eh, no big deal. But when I don't have it, I'm like, fuck, do I need him? Do I need this guy?
Yeah,
I'm missing him. And I'm like, I didn't need him until I started seeing him so much. And then all of a sudden, I feel like everyone on my feed has this freaking guy. And I'm like, okay, what am I missing here? I was like, I don't know. Now I'm scratching my head. I'm like, okay, now I'm looking on Amazon. I'm looking on BBTS. I'm looking on eBay. I'm looking on groups. And of course, now it's like, now it's the figure that everybody wants, you know? So sometimes that's tricky. I don't know how to figure that part out. Where, how is it that I can just appreciate? Well, like right now, Conan, right? Everyone has Conan. It was like figure of the year. And I'm like, I'm not a big enough Conan fan to drop $300. Mm-hmm. I appreciate Frank Frazetta. I love his artwork. Fire and Ice was like one of my favorite movies growing up as a kid. I used to watch that like time over and time again. And it didn't click on me until after I saw Conan. I'm like, oh, I could have easily got somebody to do a head sculpt and just put it on the guy to make it seem like the main protagonist from the movie. And I was like, ah, dummy. But I'm like, I'm not going to go crazy. I just got to stick to my guns. Like, nope, I don't have no space for Conan. You know, same thing with like some of the Mythic Legions. I saw some of those in hand, like Mario bought some, Mike bought some, amazing figures, like hands down.
Oh, just been an amazing temptation for me.
And I'm like, wow, I can easily get into this line easily. But I'm like, I can't. There's no way. Like, I'm not going to have any more room. And, man, what I saw, it was just phenomenal. Great sculpt, great paint, the size, the scale. There's different. It was just, it blew me away. It was a really awesome treat to see those two guys pick up those Mythic Legions and kind of tempt me. But at the same time, I really had to stick to my guns and be like, nope, I'm already, like, I have a lot going on between, like, Joy Toy, Mezco, Legend. I'm getting back into Legends. You know, it's tough. I think being a collector and especially having so many different lines that are taking your attention, it's gonna drive you crazy.
Yeah. It's definitely really tough. And I'm right there with you, man. And Mythic Legions has been one of those ongoing struggles for me that I keep telling myself, no, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do it. Cosmic came up and I got this close to getting the all-in wave. And then I decided okay, no, I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah.
Then I see the live that you guys are all in together. You guys are talking about the Legions and Mike's got that troll. And I'm like, damn, that troll looks so awesome.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. That troll looks badass. Yeah.
It looks so good. And if I found that on sale, it would be really hard for me to say no to it.
Oh yeah. He got an epic deal on that.
And from what I understand, Legions are fairly hard to come by. I mean, I know they do the in-stock sales, but
you don't come across them every day.
Right. They don't come across them every day. They don't happen all the time. So more than likely, the value is going to go up. And that plays a part in my head, too. Like, if I feel like it's going to be more valuable later on,
right,
I'm a bit more willing to probably pick it up because it seems like less of a risk.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have to deal with selling figures. And that is just a pain in the ass. I can't stand it sometimes.
Oh man, selling figures is a whole nother ordeal, especially like I feel like a lot of us go through the same phases where you're like, okay, I have too much, I need to get rid of stuff. And it's like we all think that at the same time. So all of a sudden you see sell posts everywhere and you're everywhere. Like, I'm not moving anything because everyone's selling. Like right now, I feel it's like sell mode. It's like the inventory to buy it's a buyer's market right now.
Yes.
For like the general figures, you know, fodder and stuff, because it's like it's a buyer's market right now, because I feel like everyone is dumping a lot of Legends, especially the older ones. Like I have a bunch of Toy Biz. I've been collecting Legends since Spider-Man Classics. To sell a Toy Biz, like you might as well give them for free, just have people pay for shipping, if that, because unless it's like face off Captain America, or I don't even know who else would be better than a face-off cap. But if it's anything less than a face-off cap, you should not be charged. Just charge them the shipping fee. Be like, here, just take this off my hands. Get it out of here. Because, you know, Legend. Because right now it's so tough to sell a Toy Biz Marvel Legend.
Yeah.
And just Legends in general, you know, that Bucky cap is going away. Their newer molds, everything's going pinless. There's so much competition that it's really tough to sell Legends, period. Especially at a good price, you can't, you know, ask for like these crazy prices. So I think right now it is definitely a buyer's market where everyone's selling, and that's frustrating for a collector, because you're like, man, I can't move my stuff, I can't get rid of some of these figures that I want to get rid of. And at the end of the day, you don't want to just sell them for like 10 bucks, 10, and then take a loss. You're like,
right.
You know, I'd rather just keep them. And then you're back to square one.
Right. Well, that's where the desperation starts to come in. Because I agree with you. Right now is probably one of the worst times to try to sell figures because there's so much out there. And you see a lot of the same stuff again and again.
Yeah.
You know, it's stuff that nobody really wants. Sometimes you get valuable things that come in there.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, people that are selling right now are probably just trying to offload things that they just don't really give a shit about.
Yeah.
You know, and every once in a while you have something that comes up that's okay. Well, that's not a bad item, but for the most part, a lot of what I'm seeing is just
very common stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Very common stuff that I could really get anywhere. There's really not an incentive for me to do it. And there's just so much out there. Like you talked about, you're not going to get top dollar for it. So like we're talking about earlier, you know, you're buying stuff. Then all of a sudden you realize you have too much and then you try to offload it and you're willing at that point, you get desperate to offload. So then you're like, oh, I'll just take $15 on this legend.
Yeah.
You know, I spent $22 at the store. Yeah. I'm taking a loss. So all that stuff that I bought 6 months ago, now I'm selling at a loss if I'm trying to sell right this moment.
Yeah.
And I get it that people are desperate for money for the holidays and there's stuff, figures to pay for, but just, you know, think about that. You know, I try to think about that too. Like, am I making any money or is this just a trade for me and I'm actually losing on the deal? Yeah. So if I feel like I'm losing on the deal, I'll just wait. Cause you know, losing money is probably my biggest pet peeve. I hate losing my money. I'm frugal that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think for anybody listening, if you're thinking to yourself, oh, I'm going to have this big sales post soon and just make all this money, you're going to have a hard time moving figures. I guarantee it.
Yeah. And it sucks because unless it's like those really hard figures that you don't want to get rid of, I feel like lately I've been seeing in some of the Mezco groups I'm in, they've been dropping some really like large lots or they've been dropping figures that a lot of people have been looking for. And right now, the price, some of these prices I've seen are really good.
Really good.
Without like pink skulls, everything else, I'm like, man, that's like, I've been tempted a couple times where I'm like, man, people are, and it sucks because you can see in the post the guys putting like, you know, I really didn't want to do this or, you know, whatever the situation is. It's the price are good. And that's the thing, like, when you have to look at your collection, you're like, oh, this is the one line or these figures that I was never thinking of selling. Now I got to sell them, but I'm going to sell them at a price that I know no one's going to turn, you know, that and I, turned down. And when I post them, they're going to sell like hotcakes. Cause just the other day I saw somebody posting a bunch of Mezcos and there were killer prices. Like Nightmare really Bats for like 125, 150. Like he usually is like 200, you know, 200 plus. Mm-hmm. They had just a lot of the older Mezcos where I was like, damn, that those are some, and within an hour they were all gone. So it's that to me that, obviously, the individual did make their money back, but it stinks because you know that at a different time they were much higher. You know, they were going for like 200-300 plus. And sometimes the market's a little crazy like that, where people are just unloading so much that they're willing to take that loss, where they know they can get more, but they're just going to throw it out there.
Right. Yeah, and I hate to see that happen too, because you know what a figure is retail at least. Right. Or like you're talking about Mezcos, you know that a lot of Mezcos are pretty valuable.
Yeah.
And when you see a Nightmare Batman for 125, you're like, man, that guy's kind of taking a loss on it. Yeah. Unless he bought it retail.
Yeah.
Then he's making a little bit of money, but he's not making as much as he could if he just would have waited a little bit.
And Mezco shipping, it's going to be at least 10, 15 bucks to ship a box. So it's, you know, you're not making out that much. And I was like, damn, should I buy it?
See,
that's the thing all over again.
The mentality. Yeah. Oh. Like you see a good deal and you're like, it's probably the worst time of the year for
you're
me to buy.
But scratching yourself. You're like,
am I ever going to find that again at that price?
Like, I just got these cheeseburgers.
Yeah. Yeah.
All I got these flight stands.
But there's just so much of that going on that unless you were kind of earlier on in the holidays, maybe you had some good success, but now being that we're, you know, in close to Thanksgiving and Christmas is right around the corner.
Yeah.
The likelihood of people buying your stuff is pretty small. Yeah. Unless you've got somebody that's big baller status that just doesn't care.
Yeah. You have those other, the baller. But then the other thing too is with the holiday season, like shipping's another headache, you know?
Yeah.
You got to expect delays. Getting to the post office. Lines are out the door. And their shipping's slowed down. Shipping prices has gone up. There's so much that I think goes into play that a lot of us forget when we're purchasing items. I try to be as pleasant as possible and understanding and be like, hey, if you said you're shipping it, cool, you're shipping it. I'm in no rush. I don't have to be the first one to post it. And at the same time, like, there's so much craziness going outside of just IG, you know, like most of us work regular jobs and have families and, you know, we have to do shopping for them or people get sick or flat tire, you know, all this other crazy stuff that we're not constantly posting IG. So yeah. Shipping around holidays is just, it's a really intense thing to manage. And like right now, like I'm already thinking and trying to do all my Christmas shopping because I'm anticipating delays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I bought some, even on Amazon, like I bought a couple items and they've already been delayed twice. And I'm like, okay, so hopefully they come in next week. Like, okay, it's a week delay. And this is damn, yeah, I'm like, all right, if I would have bought it like closer to Christmas. So that's the type of thing trouble. Where I'm like, yeah, how do I budget that in between all these Black Friday sales for figures? And I'm like, damn, mm-hmm. do I have to put a pause on my collecting during this time? Do I just hold off and close my eyes and not look at any of these sales that are going on or collectors throwing up some of their lots super cheap or figures super cheap? Like I just, it's hard. It's a really hard time. I think holidays is a hard time for collectors.
Yeah. And companies know that too, that this is typically a time of the year where everybody's spending a bit more.
Yeah.
So, hey, you're going to spend $200 on that gift. Why not give me an extra 50 and you get these three figures that are on sale, you know?
Yeah.
Like Amazon, they threw up all those Marvel Legends on sale last week.
Yeah.
That was a smart release because you're putting on an Amazon. People are already shopping right now.
Yeah.
You know, you just throw that up into your peripheral. Right. And you're like, oh, yeah. Shit. Lady Deathstrike for $13. Yes, please. Oh, you know?
Man. Yeah.
You just want to jump on that stuff. It's hard to say no. But it's like I talked about. You got to have a goal.
Yeah. Stick to your guns.
If anything, like, make a budget for yourself. I know people are like, this is a figure podcast. Why are you guys talking about budgeting?
Budget.
But it is huge. Yeah. If you budget yourself and say, you know, do like a full budget, but just give yourself like an allowance of money, of your money, you know, every month that you're willing to spend on figures. Yeah. If you go above that allowance, you got to be strict with yourself and say, no, I already spent too much this month. I'm not doing it again.
Yeah.
And it's easier said than done.
It is. It's, you know, that's crazy that you bring that up. Cause you know what I did one year when I was really going hardcore on Mezco, and that's all I did. Right. I was like, that's it. I'm just focusing on Mezco, not buying any legends. And I started writing, I had this journal where I wrote down all my pre-orders for Mezco every year. And I planned it out like the full year. Right. I should dig it up. And then I would say, okay, for when I would pre-order the Mezcos, I can't remember what site, but I used a couple of different sites and I would try to pay up front if the site offered that, or if it was a Mezco exclusive, I would always do PayPal. Right. So then I would write down, okay, this month I spent 100, and I wasn't necessarily giving myself an allowance, but I was trying to see the trend. How much was I spending each month? And, you know, when you think about it, you're like, okay, this year I want to spend $3,000 on figures for the whole year. Mm-hmm. But then you start, like, I think my first year, I did this for 2 years. The first year I did this, I was like, I want to spend $1,500 for a year on figures, $1,500. And you think, man, almost $2,000, that's a lot of money. But then per month, that's only $150, if not less, right?
Yeah.
So, for
anybody, you really want to scare yourself, for anyone listening, tally up how much you spent on figures all year.
Yeah.
You will shit a brick of how much it actually comes out to.
And the reason I did that was because I was like, how much did I spend? Like in one time at my worst, in 1 month, I was almost close to like $500 and it was all legends. And it was like, I picked up 2-3 waves. I picked up a bath and I was like, whoa, this is a lot of money. Like $500. I could have been smarter with this. Right.
Yeah.
So I decided to break it apart. And I think the first year was like $1,500 and I'm like, okay, I don't want to pass $150 and $150 just on figures. That's a lot. And I get, this was my transition from becoming a Legends collector, $20 a pop, $20. You can buy a lot of Legends for $150. But then transitioning to a Mezco, I was like, wow, that's like two Mezcos.
Right.
And that was one. Preparing me. Or one. And that was preparing me. Really, that helped me take that step because I was like, that's only one Mezco. So I think I picked up my first couple exclusives that year. And I was writing everything down. And I was looking at the end of the month and I'm like, oh, I'm in the red again. I'm like, I already dipped into next month's budget. I was like, fuck. And then there was 1 month where I picked up two exclusives and I had two Mezcos and then like two Legends. And I was like, well, I already ate up like 3 months worth of budget. I was like, great. You know, and I was just, I wasn't restricting myself, but I was keeping an eye on my trends. And then there was 1 month where I'm like, I'm just sticking to my pre-order. It was $85. That's it. I didn't buy anything. Really good. And then I waited some sales. So I was kind of changing my behavior, you know, really taking a note at how I was managing my money. And then at the end of the year, I marked up and added up everything. And I was like, man, I think my budget was 15. And I came in like at 24. And I was like, I fucking went way over. What the? Okay. So I need to be more realistic with myself and give myself a higher budget. But then that means I can't give in to every single Legends way. So the second year, I really scaled back on Legends. I'm like, I can't pick up every time there's a sale. I can't pick up every single Legend. I have to really stick either to a character or a team. And that really helped me kind of narrow down and back off on Legends. And I think that second year, I probably picked up like 2 or 3 Legends. But then I made my transition into more Mezco. But then I started picking up Mafex. And then my budget grew like to $200 because, again, what I was picking up was at least $100 per figure. So I was like, okay, I'm for sure going to pick up 2 figures a month. Because when you break it down in steps or in smaller pieces, you see that eventually it adds up to a lot. Because if you start talking like, I spend close to $5,000 on figures, you're like, fuck, that's a lot of money. But then when you break it down, you're like, well, in January, I picked up 2 Mafex. And that's $100 each. That's $200. Then this, and they start, and you're like, oh, okay, you're picking up $100 figures. All right, well, that kind of makes sense. You picked up 50 figures this year, and you know, and that's possible. Like 50 figures in a year, some of us probably get more than 50 figures in a year. We're close to 80 to 100. You know, if you count everything that you pick up.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a great point, and you know, I think a lot of people have similar stories, maybe that aren't tracking it as closely, but
yeah,
that's also dangerous too. You know, if you're not wanting to look at how much you're spending on figures, that's dangerous.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, because you don't know what your stop gap is, you know.
Yeah.
Where should I stop? How much should I spend last year? Like you're talking about, like that's genius. I know I spent $1,500 last year. This year I'll set it at the same budget. Oh shit. Yeah. I went over by $700.
Yeah.
You know, like, should I increase my budget or should I try to limit my collecting?
Yeah.
And if you're not looking at that, if you're trying to just turn a blind eye to it, that's not the smart way to go. Like you gotta be looking at that. You gotta be seeing how much money you're spending. It's hard to accept sometimes, like, oh fuck,
I spent
$5,000 on figures this year.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. That's money, like you said, that's money I could have done, you know, investing in my house or buying something for my wife or buying something for my kid or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be collecting, but there's got to be some controls in place.
Yeah. Because then we run into that. You run into that where you're like, I have all this stuff. Half of it's really good. The other half was impulse buy.
Right.
And I just want to get rid of it. I don't have no space. Then you get mad at yourself and you kick yourself in the ass. And that's the worst feeling where you're like, then you start hating the hobby. You're like, fuck, I'm buying everything. Everything fucking sucks. These figures are shit. Like you go down. It's a negative road. Stay away from that. Just being conscious of what you're buying. And for me, it really helped writing it down and seeing the numbers. I'm like, okay, I'm all right. Let's like easy. Take it easy, Josh. Like you're spending a little too much. Like let's just chill these next couple weeks and don't buy anything. All right, cool. Didn't buy anything. Felt like, you know, these last couple months, I haven't bought shit. I think our last couple episodes, I've probably collected a couple chips because we've been dry on our plastic confessions.
Yeah.
This last week, man, I'm like done for the year.
That's it.
I
made up for 3 months.
And part of it was pre-orders. You know, it was pre-orders that I pre-ordered like 2-3 months ago, again, because of the delays. And now they're all coming in at once. And I'm like, holy moly, like, all right, it's an avalanche of figures. It's an onslaught. So it's like it's crazy.
Yeah, it is an onslaught. And you know, it's like we get that everybody's in their own situation and, you know, you might be more responsible for this than us. We're just trying to educate people, like pay attention to how much you're spending.
Yeah.
Set a budget for yourself, have a goal in your collection. It's really easy. I think one thing that's important to note is if you think about it over the last 3 years, people are more willing to spend more money on figures nowadays than they were 3 or 4 years ago. And I think it's because of companies like Mezco, Mafex, Super 7, the HasLabs that have come on the scene. I guarantee you Hasbro's looking at that, at least just one big company name. Okay, people are willing to spend more money on figures. we're going to make more money over the year if we increase our distribution.
Yeah.
So I think Hasbro Legends, it seems like their distribution has really started to speed up.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and those HasLabs are another indication of how much are people really willing to spend on figures. They do all these studies like, okay, well, we did 3 HasLabs. They all got funded. Let's do 4 or 5 next year. See how it goes.
Yeah. You
know, they're always going to want to increase that profit. So the more that we buy, right, the more they're going to distribute. So that's why we tell ourselves like, hey, it's the golden age of collecting. It feels amazing right now.
Yeah.
Because these companies know we're going to spend the money. The community is bigger.
Yeah.
We're spending more than we ever had before on figures, which, you know, we all have to have our hobbies, but just take it in retrospect. Sometimes when I think about my figure collection, yes, they bring me joy, but in 10 years, what is that going to provide me? I'm going to have a lot of plastics just sitting around.
Yeah.
And it's going to be hard to move it all. Like you're talking about Toy Biz. That stuff's hard to move because it's just so old now.
Yeah. No, I mean, like it's going to be hard to get even what they used to be worth. So I think this is a great question for our audience listeners over there. You know, one, do you have a budget? And if you do, how do you track your spending? Do you give yourself an allowance? Do you keep track of your trends? And if you don't have a budget, how do you manage your collection?
Yeah.
At the end of the month, at the end of the year, a lot of times everyone does a top 10. I think if you're not very aware of what you're collecting, how do you compile your top 10? How do you feel about going into the next year? So that would be my question to our audience and our listeners. You know, do you have a budget? And if you do, how do you go about that? And how do you track your spending?
Sound off in the comments below.
I would be awesome and intrigued to hear what other best practices, what tips do you guys have for other collectors? I know when I was first starting, I was just going ham. I was going ham on everything. And I was like, then later feeling like shit because I either put it all on a credit card or I would dump it all on my debit card. And then when I did have something like important to fix, let's say my brakes, or let's say I had to get a freaking smog check sometimes when I was like super young, and I was like, damn, smog checks, $80. I just picked up a new wave. You know, it's like, how do you manage all that? Let us know.
Yeah, that's a great question. Let us know in the comments if you guys have feedback, if you got tips that help you.
Yeah.
You know, because that's a great point. The last thing you want to do is put yourself in financial stress by racking up your credit card with figures. And the way that I've looked at it is that financial emergencies are only an emergency because they didn't properly plan for it.
Right.
You know, if you budget out, like let's say you put 3 or 6 months of your salary in an account that just sits there and doesn't get touched.
Yeah.
If something like that happens, like you're talking about, like a water heater breaks or
your
brakes go bad or you need new tires, you got this money sitting there for those kind of emergencies.
Yeah.
Don't dip into that with figures.
Mm-hmm.
But the last thing you want to do is tell your wife like, hey, the credit card's maxed out because I've been buying too many figures this year.
Yeah.
You know, that's a dangerous conversation. And financial problems are one of the leading causes of divorce, unfortunately. I mean, I know we're getting dark here, but it's just, you know, it's something that it's going to, figure collecting affects everything else that you do.
It reminds me of that Disney, I don't know if it's Disney, but that cartoon with where the squirrel, one squirrel's collecting all the nuts, the other squirrel's just going ham and like just fucking partying all. Like that's it. If you go hard on figures all year long, something's going to happen where you're like, oh damn, now I need money. And that's when you see these posts where people are like, oh, like, you know, my cat got sick, I got vet bills. And it's like, hey, if you would have managed your money better, you wouldn't be in this situation. Now you have to give up your freaking, you know, 40th anniversary Boba Fett, whatever. It's stuff like that where, you know, we've all been at that point where I'm like, fuck, do I have to sell my collection right now? And it's like, no, I just need to be smart with my money. That's it. You don't have to buy every single little thing. You don't. It's hard. It's really, really hard. But I think it comes with experience and hopefully discipline where you're like, okay, that's a cool figure. I don't need it just because I can't. I have to be honest with myself. Like, I can't because I want this other figure or I'm holding out for something else. And that's okay.
Yeah. Nobody in the community is going to judge you because you decided to pass on a Marvel Legends wave.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-mm. You know, nobody's going to care.
Yeah.
So unless you have some personal problem with it, just let it go. You know, yes, it might look cool. And you're like, man, I could have used that for a shot or something like that. But is it something you're really, you got to keep reminding yourself is, do I have a real passion for this? Or is it just the FOMO talking that's driving me to want to buy it? you know.
See, only if there was a renting somewhere we can rent a fig. We're gonna rent them only for shots, but we need to get credit for the shot. Come on,
yeah.
Come on, guys.
The guy renting the figures is gonna be a financial ruin sooner or later.
Oh, that's it. Oh, that's all we're gonna be getting is customers. Oh, forget it. Nope. The idea is all bad every time it comes up.
Hey, what happened to this Gomez that you returned? He's all fucked up.
I'm not renting Gomez. I'm only gonna rent like Marvel Legends on sale.
There you go.
Or
didn't see nobody's gonna rent that shit. Like, it's on sale, man. I can go buy it myself.
Damn it. See, this idea is all bad.
It's gotta be all valuable shit. Yeah, you're going to have to pass some kind of background check. I'm going to need collateral from one of your kids.
Give us your pink slip of your car.
Yeah, I'm going to need a pink slip.
Damn.
And then you can rent my Gomez for a little while. But yeah, good topic, man. It's something that I think we got to bring to the surface. Even though people don't want to acknowledge that it's a problem, sometimes it becomes a problem very quickly.
Yeah, the last thing you want to do is, you know, you don't want to be out of money. It's the holiday season.
Yeah.
Charities are out there. Toy drives. Like, I don't know. Christmas is like my holiday. I love Christmas. Yes, but then I get in the giving mood where I want to give. I want to give to charity. I want to give to the less fortunate. I want to, you know, buy a bunch of toys for my kids, my nieces and nephews. And, you know, maybe I'm the uncle that gives them their first legend or gives them their first whatever figure and gets them in that line. Yeah. And then you want to spoil your loved ones too, you know? You don't want to be the guy handing out macaroni freaking frames because you ran out of fucking money and you're like, here, I made kitty cats out of macaroni and I made a dog and I made you a pigeon. You know, like, come on, you don't want to be the macaroni guy.
It's the thought that counts, honey.
I made you a flight stand out of macaroni. I got you some free dancing lessons.
Yeah, look, the macaroni floats on its own with the stand. Yeah, like we talked about, the supports, man. You got to recognize the supports.
Yeah,
and the supports are the people that you should be spoiling the most.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that let us enjoy the hobby to the fullest extent. Like,
oh, yeah.
My wife or your wife, you know, they're there to support us all the time. So when the time comes to get back hard. Because then we're going to remember that. Don't, like, make them your bottom tier person. Like, you're my wife. You're going to be here. I'm going to give you a $20 gift this year. Like, don't.
I'm going to send your wife a $100 gift card to BBTS. I'm like, thanks for letting Nate hang out with me. And she's like, why did you give me a fucking BBTS gift card? I don't need this shit.
Make sure you share this with Nate, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
She hates you for that.
Oh, I'm already getting blocked. Add her to the list.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I hope, you know, that helps you guys try to make a budget, see how it works. Yeah. If you just want to make a figure budget, just try that out. Just try it for a year. Just say, hey,
cool. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to spend no more than $3,000 this year.
And that's crazy. That trying a figure budget, look at what that does to your collection.
Right.
You will really be picky about what figures you get. And I think at the end of the year or at the end of the month, you're going to be so much more satisfied with your decisions. You're going to be like, you know what? I spent my $100. And when I the second year that I did it, there was a couple months where I went under my budget and I didn't pick up anything and I felt really good. I was like, yeah, I didn't make any bad like decisions.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't give in to these impulse buys. I'm like, cool. I'm going to roll over my budget. Now, instead of 200, now I got 300 or 400, you know, whatever my budget was. And at the end of the year, I know that second year that I did that, I really leveled out and scaled down my legend collection. But it gave me the opportunity to pick up more of the exclusives. I was able to pick up some of Mezco's that were missing. So that at the end of that second year, I felt even better because I'm like, oh, now my collection's solid. And that's the only reason why I have so many Mezco's, because that second year, I really took a step back and I was like, nope, I'm not. I missed out on a bunch of waves and I don't have a bunch of baths. But, you know, look what I have now. I have Mezco figures that I've really wanted to get in my collection. I was able to pick them up only because I did those things. So yeah, take a look at that. See, let us know what you guys think. I think this new year, I'm going to try a different budget and see what happens. Cause I feel like I've kind of strayed away from that. I want to go back to that and see how my budget scales now.
Yeah. I agree with you. I feel like in 2021, I got a little out of control with stuff. You know, I think 2020 was one of those years that was tough for everybody. So 2021, like, fuck it. I'm going to go crazy. I didn't do as much last year. I'm going to go nuts.
Yeah.
And then you go way overboard. You know, you end up beating your 2019 budget by, you know, a couple of thousand. You're like, oh shit, what was I doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's scary.
Yeah. No, and it was funny because at the end of the second year, I went back and I looked at some of my pre-orders. And I mean, no, no shade thrown to Mezco, but some of my pre-orders from Mezco, they were still outstanding.
2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you look back 2 years, Keaton is one of the ones that was.
And I was like, look, I still, this one just came in. Be able to scratch it off finally.
Yeah. Keaton's in my 2019 budget and it still has not been fulfilled. Or one thing that helps me out, just last thing before we move on, is trying to pay in cash up front.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing I do with Mezco. Pay PayPal. I know it's tough. I know nobody wants to realize that the money's gone and like, I want to hold on to that. The money's gone either way. You made the pre-order. So might as well just pay it now. And like Prime said, when the Mezco start to come in, it feels like Christmas.
Yep.
I paid these 2 years ago. This is great. I don't have to worry about this. This is all money.
I love that option. And when they have that option, I do it all the time. Take the money up front. Boom, here. I don't have to deal with you anymore. Because one, I'm going to forget about shit. That's the other thing. I have so much stuff on pre-order. Yeah. Like, I'm supporting some of these like customized stuff. I have stuff I've paid them. And I'm like, when were you going to ship again? Oh, you're shipping in January. Okay, cool. Like, I'll be back then. You know, others, I'm like, wait, weren't you supposed to ship this to me in September? Like, we're heading
into this.
Like, what's going on? And then other times, I just fucking forget because they're not like an official site or something. So I'm like, all right, I need to like backtrack, either go through my DMs or my emails or whatever. But sometimes that's, I'd rather have like pay up a front and not have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a smart way to do it. Or if you're putting on a credit card, pay that credit card off. Like have a credit card that you use for figures only.
That's it.
That way you're tracking how much you're spending and then pay that off at the end of the month. And so you're like, okay, it's a reset.
I do use one for that exact reason because I get points and these points do matter, unlike the enabler points. Those enabler points, and I'm always last, you know. Those guys, I think it's sabotage. They're always setting me up for last.
Hey, you're trying to help your friends by not enabling too much. But yeah, that's smart though. Use a credit card. That's even the smarter way. Use a credit card that generates points because then you're going to get whatever that reward is. If it's a cash reward, if it's a hotel or whatever the hell it is, you know, use a card that's paying you back. So at least all that money you're spending, you're getting something back in return for it. And it feels like it's not as much of a loss, you know, it kind of cuts down the cost a little bit. But yeah, great discussion, man. You had some great feedback on that. Hopefully that helps you guys out. Like Josh said, let us know in the comments, you know, what do you guys do to budget your figure collection? What are some tips that you could give out that maybe we didn't talk about? We'd love to hear from you. So just let us know in the comments. Maybe we'll feature you in our next episode or something like
that. And quick shout out to, like, I've gone through some of our older videos and there's a lot of you out there that go back and leave some really great comments. The support and the positive comments that you guys are leaving, whether this is your first time hearing us or you really like the content. If you guys have ideas for other topics you guys want us to tackle, feel free to leave that in the comments as well. But man, there's been a couple videos out there that it's either one or two comments, or there's some that have been like 8 or 10 comments. All the comments, I try to take a time and go back and read them, but I've seen nothing but positivity. Love you guys for that. Keep it coming. That's going to really fuel this train and we'll bring you along with our journey and we'll make this channel grow.
Definitely. I can't echo that enough. Thank you guys for all the comments that you give us because we read it all.
Yeah. We're about to hit like 200 subscribers on YouTube. So that's,
I think we're at 201 actually.
Oh, 201. So we're drinking to that, celebrating. Cheers, guys. Come on. Cheers. Let's enjoy this day.
Yes. Thank you guys for all the support so far.
And those hardcore listeners listening to us from their
each and audio, every week,
all of you guys
sharing that stuff, commenting, joining every single live, every single week. We see you guys. We know who you are. Thank you for that. All right.
What's next?
Going into talking about spending money.
Oh, not more. Let's go. I'm ready. Orders,
baby.
I just paid off my credit card. Let's go.
Yes. All right. So it is it's the 17th, just to do the date because people are like, how the hell do they know about this?
Yeah.
Mezco dropped another pre-order today.
Yeah.
And it was, they had teased this a little bit, but they finally dropped it. And I think it's actually still available, which is surprising.
Yeah.
But it's the Slugfest Emporium Badassery Advent Calendar.
And it's a buy it now and it's supposed to ship in December. Like, I'm supposed to get this before Christmas. I don't know. I don't know about that.
That seems like a really quick turnaround.
Incredibly quick.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of these buy it now drops are kind of cutting in line of some of the pre-orders, which is pissing a lot of people off.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to somebody today and they're like, they've got this much of my money. You know, I can't buy anymore because they're already holding on to this much.
Yeah.
You know, like we're talking about people that are looking at how much they're actually spending on Mezco, like, shit, I got 6 or 7 pre-orders that are not fulfilled.
Yeah.
But this is one of those holiday releases from Mezco. I don't think they've really done anything like this before, but they teased it, and it's an advent calendar that includes 12 different items. You got this Santa grub, which I could give a shit about.
So I either better get it before December 1st or 12 days before Christmas.
Yeah, if this shows up on like 12/31, then you've failed, Mezco. Oh. You failed.
And that's a quick turnaround. We're talking about 2 weeks.
Yeah. That means it needs to ship like right away.
Right.
Because Mezco stuff takes a while.
Yeah, it takes at least a week to get to me.
Yeah. So you got this Stinkle Santa. I don't care about it. These are the Mezzets.
See, I love that stuff.
You do?
Yeah, because, well, my daughter, she loves playing with them.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
cool. I just got to keep them away from my dog a bit.
As long as you guys get use out of them. Shout out to English. I can't remember his
name. Yeah, English.
214 or something like that. I don't know.
Spreading lies and starting beefs.
Here we go. I got to look up his name real quick before I screw it up too much. Let me just see. English. English W is his name.
Okay.
He was telling me that the hats should come off can use them on figures.
Yeah.
They're big enough on these that you can actually put it on a Mezco figure's head, like a skull or something. So that's a good accessory.
Yeah. Those they haven't used those little Mezzets in a long time. Those used to be some of the original ones from the older Mezco.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember one of them we got was from like the bodega box. It was the guy with like the bat.
With a hat.
Yeah. You get 3 headphones, which is cool for accessories. These are Christmas themed, except for this one, which is nice.
Yeah.
The metallic Gomez head, I think, that's pretty badass.
Yeah.
I really like that. Christmas colors. 5 points Doc Nocturnal.
For a minute there, I thought that was a regular size when I first saw it. And I was like, oh, shit, we get a red Doc Nock?
Doc Nock in
here? Yeah, that would have been amazing. Then I saw the 5 points and I was like, you son of a biscuit.
I'm surprised they went with the red version. Because that's the newest one. True.
Christmas.
I guess that's a good point. Yeah. But that means they thought about this.
I like the webbing. The webbing on the suit.
I do like the webbing.
And it's gonna go good with the 5 points pink skulls on my other 5 points.
It looks like this is a vinyl cape.
That's cool. Yeah.
That's kind of cool. And one thing I've noticed about 5 points, all the Rumble Society ones have come in box sets. That's the only way you can get them.
Oh, yeah.
So I think at some point down the road, 5 points are going to become more valuable because people are going to realize, like, oh, shit, the only way I could get all of these Rumble Society ones are through these sets. Yeah. So if you don't really care about it. Packaging is awesome
on the
5 point. I think they're great. I love the 5 point stuff. I'm all about it. Tactical vest and belt. This is cool. This is a different type of tactical vest. We haven't seen this color before.
I like that. Awesome. It's like that digital camo print.
Mm-hmm. Reindeer Stinkle Mezzets. That'd be cool if this comes off and I can put it on another figure.
Yeah, so that would be.
You get this is cool. Punching 3D effects. Nothing I've ever seen from Mezco before. You get the wham, the flack, the boom, ouch, and then you get some punching kind of like swoop effects.
Oh, okay. So I thought it was just the swoop effects, and I thought the boom pat, you know, the sound. I thought it was just like added in there.
I feel like these come with it. At least I hope so.
Oh, okay. I hope so too, because that would take it over the top.
Maybe I'm wrong. I have to look at these description.
If not, we have beef Mezco.
Yeah, that's gonna be a problem. Gold coins and case. You saw this with John Wick, the coins. Yeah. The case I think came with Two-Face, if I remember correctly. Yeah,
it might be a little different though, the Two-Face case. This one looks a little bit more bulkier, like more.
Yeah, it's got the little latches on the side too. Yeah, but
that looks all right. That's okay.
It's okay. What else? We got the scarf and Santa hat.
Santa hat.
That's kind of cool.
I like the Santa hat. Those scarves are cool. I could really they have the bendy wire.
About. Yeah, yeah. And then another Stinkle as an elf. We've got 3 Stinkles so far and a grub.
Yeah. And if the hats do come off, that'd be awesome.
The big one, the thing that's really drawing people to this is the Cousin Eddie. Which is epic. Like the Mezco mascot, but this is also the first time they've ever given us the PSCC head sculpt in another release.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the blue one. He's got the booze that he comes with here.
That's
he's got dope. Some unique hands that we've never seen before.
Yeah.
and he's got the reindeer onesie. This should be really easy to take off and replace with other Rumble Society clothes. If you've been collecting Rumble Society, you could make this guy into your own personal PSCC figure.
Yeah, with a blue head.
With a blue head. Yeah, I mean, this would be like a different version of PSCC. Yeah. It's really nice, though, because they offered a COG code for this, which gave you $20 off the total.
Damn it.
So, and then
no decoder ring. I've only made $80 off that decoder ring. Come on.
I don't think the decoder ring's ever coming back.
I think it's done. But yeah, they got me. They said it was gonna be like $300 in savings and all this yada yada yada.
I know.
Bullshit.
Sucks. And to top it all off, they gave it free shipping in the US.
Yeah.
So not only did they give you a discount, they gave you free shipping and they just packed it full of shit. So
you know what? Love it. I love the packaging because they always do a lot of fun stuff with their packaging. The only thing that I'm missing from there is a boombox, a boom boom. I would have loved to give a Christmas color boom boom on there, just like that.
Just like this.
Give me that boom boom in there because you always throw in a boom boom. Like I have so many of them. I have a purple one, man. A boom boom like that would have been over. I would have been like cherry on top.
That's a great point. Like you're selling the box as this. How is this not included?
Yeah.
I don't get it. Yeah, I've already got like four boom booms, but I would still like to have this version of it because it's very specific to Christmas.
Yeah.
This is one of those things that you're going to see a lot of people use in years to come for Christmas shots.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I love that fact that they give them the bottle, but just come on, give me a boom boom like that. That would have been awesome.
I like the booze bottle, but yeah, they could have gone just a little bit further with that. So yeah, that's the Mezco. And then you've got the NECA. Thylog. I'm not sure what this guy's name is.
It's basically all about thighs. Look at those thighs. Thylog, yeah, definitely.
Look at those freaking thighs, man.
I wish my thighs looked like that. Thigh muscle? Or
you keep working out twice a day, they will.
I'm going to try.
But yeah, this is basically the same. This is basically Goliath as a different color with a different head sculpt, which is cool. You know, Thylog's basically the evil version of Goliath in the show.
Bizarro. Yeah.
I like how he comes with a gun. You guys packing heat. I guess gargoyles need to have guns too.
Yeah.
Look at him. He's shooting
like,
right there.
Damn. That's like a missile laser.
I like that effect though. That's cool.
Yeah. It looks really dope.
Yeah. That's a really tiny gun though.
That's shooting a lot. It's a lot of heat.
Yeah. It's a lot of heat.
It's like that little gun. Men in Black gun.
And you got the money case. I guess gargoyles need money too.
Yeah.
He looks very happy about it. He's giving the fist. He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
You got some keys in there. Got this little snub nose thing for the pistol, I guess.
Those accessories are so freaking cool.
They are really cool. But yeah, I mean, he looks great. Yeah, I love his colors. You can see him next to Goliath.
Yeah. I can't wait till they start, you know, doing the whole line. Hudson, all of them. Like, oh my God, it's going to be so epic.
Yeah, and they're doing Brooklyn Dog. Yeah. I think they said they've got like seven figures planned for the Gargoyles line, which is pretty crazy. And they're, you know, I think people are like, oh, well, I hope they look different than these two. I think they will.
Yeah, they will.
You know, like we've seen, Hudson's usually a bigger guy.
Yeah. He's got usually somebody, like, it's like the Turtles. Everybody has like their favorite gargoyle. Right. Oh, you know, so I can't wait for them to make all the gargoyles. And just, I think having them up all on the shelf, it's going to look fantastic.
I wonder if they're going to offer the draped wings for all of these or just going to be Goliath.
Oh, yeah.
Type of thing.
But, that'd be cool. So got, maybe accessory set.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Accessory set. He's also a little bit more expensive than Goliath. He's like $6 more for whatever reason. I'm not really sure. The other big one that I wanted to talk about before we move on is the TMNT Ultimates Party Wagon from Super 7. This has been like a kind of... in the back of everybody's mind, are they going to do it? Who's going to do a party wagon first?
Damn.
Super 7 is delivering. This thing is huge.
That looks meaty.
Yeah, let me look at the dimensions here. 20 inches long. That's big. That's bigger than the NECA dial. 13 inches high. So it's bigger than a foot tall. That's, 12.5 inches wide. It's a foot wide.
That is really big.
It is massive.
Yeah.
It is really big. And it's got to be because it has room for 6 ultimate scale figures.
Damn.
That's pretty insane. So you can pack all 4 turtles plus 2 other figures in this thing, which is pretty nuts. And it's very true to the show. Looks very much like the cartoon. I mean, it's insane. And it's $450 if you get it from Super 7 directly, just like the Thunder Tank. So I don't know why everybody expected that this was going to be less expensive, because the Thunder Tank went for $450 not too long ago. I would be very surprised if they went lower on that cost.
Well, I don't know what the dimensions are on the Thunder Tank.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm not sure either.
If it's big, if it's much larger, but either way, I mean, 112 scale figures, this goes with their ultra. It's, you know, if you're a Super 7 fan, you almost have to get this. I know a lot of people are on the fence talking about, like, they're waiting for NECA to see what NECA does.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't see why people think NECA is going to do something that's dramatically less expensive. Oh, NECA doesn't have a history for making vehicles.
Yeah.
And if they see that Super 7 selling a party wagon at $450, why would they leave money on the table? You know?
So, like, do you think if NECA does theirs, it's going to be just as expensive?
I would say if they're going to be smart, that strike where the iron is hot, so they do it right now when people are considering the Super 7. And if they really wanted to try to detract sales, they'd probably do like $350 to $400 or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, just do it a little bit less. So people are like, well, I'll just go with the NECA van.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's going to be small. I would think if NECA does theirs, it's going to have to be smaller, because a NECA turtle is much smaller than a Super 7 turtle, right? So it's like you can't get the NECA van and then fit your Ultimate 7 turtles in there.
That's a good point.
So depending on what line you're supporting, that should help you decide what van you want to get.
Yeah, the NECA cartoon stuff is smaller in scale than the Super 7 stuff. That's a good point. So
I'm going to have to get both.
Yeah. I mean, tons of crazy. I like this blowout model of it. You can just see everything that goes into it. Lots of detail. I like the boom box. You got the little bombs there.
Oh, yeah.
You can see it comes with a flattened Mauser.
That's cool.
You got pizzas. Hubcaps. Yeah, hubcaps for that. You got all this little like equipment for tools and stuff. I mean, I think this is going to be really amazing looking. You can see how big it is compared to the turtles. Yeah.
Yeah.
Turtles that makes like sense. Half the size.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's pretty crazy.
It's going to look so awesome.
I love the detail inside. They really went detailed. They have an engine bay that opens up and actually shows you where the engine is. You got all the tools so you can work on it, like this scene here. You got April driving it. You can see all the little detail on the dashboard. I mean, they're going to go all out with this. It looks pretty insane. Look at the detail on the inside.
Yeah. Pretty love crazy. The duct tape.
The duct tape to get the seats back together. But yeah, I mean, it's a big investment. And I think they might have had a bit more success maybe if they did it like HasLab style, where they have like a crowdfunding project.
That's true, yeah.
But the fact that they're making it just a one-and-done type of buy, it's probably going to be a small run. Like, I doubt there's going to be many of those made. But, you know, we'll see. All right, next segment. Anything else you want to talk about for pre-orders?
No, I'm good.
Okay, yeah, cool. Plastic Confessions.
Ooh.
So you went to Decon. I'm sure you got some stuff that you want to share. Maybe you didn't share in the live.
I got a bunch of stuff. Yeah, check out all the stuff I picked up on the live. But two more things came in right before this. So I finally ended up getting from Target the Fantastic Four, The Thing.
Nice.
So I'm excited for him. I don't know if I'm going to open them or leave them. And then I got the Webman from Amazon. So that was really cool.
Did Jay's Figs enable you?
Yes. I blame that purchase specifically on Jay Figs and all his posting.
All his posting and posing. And yeah, that guy's a posing master.
He is. And the colors just grew on me, and he looks like such a fun figure. I'm like, I'm a huge Spider-Man fan. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to pull the trigger. During my trip, I saw him all over the place, but he was double the price. So like, I'm just going to pick him up from Amazon before I miss out. And then I have to pay that double price, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't show this off in the live, but I picked up another Extreme set. This was the Arcade 5.0, which kind of makes sense. Everyone's like, dude, you have to have this in your collection. So yeah.
Kind of makes sense.
Plus,
it'd be a good background when you start, like, if you want to switch it up maybe with your like, new, you know, showing off a new arcade.
Yeah, a new arcade.
Here's the backdrop.
Oh yeah, and it kind of full circle, you know, like the arcade from the arcade guy. Here's an arcade.
Like, out of all Extreme sets, the buildings are my favorites.
Yeah,
those are the best ones I think that Extreme sets makes, because they're huge. You can use them as a background piece. You can take them apart. So you can just use it as like a back wall if you want.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. The buildings are great. I love those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
That's all that's been coming in.
Nice haul.
Well,
if you guys paid attention to my IG, I don't have the whole thing right here because I've actually got it in the other room using it for shots. I do have one wall that is not being used in a shot, but I got this amazing dial from 78 Points of Articulation.
Yeah, that looks crazy good.
If you just look at the detail on that. You got the electrical box here. You've got all these individual pipes that are put on there. You've got just really great weathering. He put this, he put some frosted glass in here, so it really helps diffuse the light.
That looks awesome.
Yeah, it comes with three walls that are about this size. You see they attach with Velcro, so if you want to attach them, and then they attach to the base with Velcro right here.
Nice.
But I did one shot with it already. If you guys want to see that, check my Instagram with Joker and Batman. I'm loving it, dude. He just knocked it out of the park. This is, I knew it was going to be good, but when I got it in hand, I'm like, holy shit, this thing is amazing.
Is that foam?
Yeah, it is a, it is a foam.
Yeah, okay.
But then he put some kind of like black backer on the, I don't know.
That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, and it really helps keep the windows in place, and it's a great adherence point for the Velcro, too. Okay. So he really went above and beyond my expectations. I didn't expect it to be this good.
Yeah.
And then I got it in hand, and I had to use it immediately. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. If you guys want to see more of it, you can check out my Instagram Live I did last weekend. One thing I didn't show on the Live is I got a Mafex Gambit finally. I bought this during BBTS when they did a restock, so I had it in my pile of loot, and I finally shipped it, and then you guys saw I got some DC Direct stuff, too. If you guys want to see that, check out that Instagram Live, but that's the only other stuff I've received that I did not show off.
Nice.
So, now that we're going into the holiday season, hopefully that slows down a little bit. We might get tokens on the next episode. We'll see, because we still have a lot of pre-orders coming, too.
Yeah.
Dirty Trick, Nasty Nate's Dirty Trick for the week. I'm going to steal one idea from Jason B. Michael because it's not something I've talked about before, but it actually really reminded me of it when he brought out that notepad that has all of his notes on it. Mm-hmm. Like, get a notepad or put notes in your phone. I don't know if I've talked about that before. Maybe I have. But if you don't have a notepad or something for ideas, I really recommend that you get one. I use Evernote on my phone. It's great. You can just go into there, jot down notes. Like, I don't know, I want to do like that Joker shot. I was thinking about that. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to have Joker standing there with some of his enemies. And then I was with my wife and we're randomly doing something. I thought like, oh, I should have Batman jumping into the scene. So I went into my phone. I wrote it down. Cause you'd be surprised how fast those ideas leave your brain.
Yeah.
You know, you're thinking about ideas and sometimes they happen when I'm going to sleep. That's when my mind's like the most active, or maybe like right when I wake up. So I'll just pull out my phone and start writing stuff down. Cause then, you know, some of those ideas, maybe I don't go back to, but one of the hardest things with toy photography is getting creativity, getting new inspiration. So if you have inspiration that you think would be a good shot, make sure you write that down because you're going to really be pissed at yourself when you try to think of it and you can't think of what it was. And then, you know, feel like you've missed out on the idea. So this is a small trick, but if you don't have a notepad, get a notepad. It helps. It's helped me out a lot. Last but not least, the figure aficionado for the week.
Figure aficionado.
Let me share real quick. I will look him up. Prepared.
We're pausing for dramatic effect.
Yeah, dramatic effect.
For those listening.
Okay, here we go. We got it. His name is A Aesthetic Number One. A_aesthetic_1. I hope I didn't butcher your name, but he's actually a really great toy photographer. He also runs the DC Prime Collective page. If you guys aren't familiar with that, it's a feature page featuring all DC stuff. One of his shots, I mean, you can see his gallery here, but this one just really blew me away.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love the lighting.
It looks like a freaking movie still. It's insane. And you can tell it's, you know, that's a 6-inch figure because this is the McFarlane Bat Cycle. Yeah. But that looks like a hot toy to me.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the McFarlane or.
If it is, he's making it look that figure good.
Looks like he says he paired it with his customized Batflex. And that's not a McFarlane. Nice. I think that's probably a Mezco
Yeah.
That's been slightly modified, if I have to guess. But it looks amazing. I mean, this shot's fantastic. He shows his BTS. He's a huge DC guy. I love his DC work. This Red Hood, that's epic. Joker, oh. Batman shot. Look, you can see that Batarang is kind of gleaming right there.
That's so cool.
Really cool. He did an awesome Halo shot. I've been really into Halo lately. He did that. It's just great photographer. I love this Mandalorian thriller thing that he did.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Just super creative. He's a great guy, really nice, very supportive in the action figure community. You know, this is awesome here. This looks straight out of the movie.
But yeah, lighting's on point. I love it.
Yeah, his lighting is insane. This Hush looks like a comic cover.
That's crazy.
Yeah, the guy's got some serious skill. So if you're not following him, this one got featured by NECA, this Frankenstein shot.
That's awesome.
Really, really good. But yeah, shout out to A_Aesthetic. Hopefully I said your name right. Go check him out if you aren't following him already. This guy needs more followers. He deserves it. He does some incredible work. Shout out to you, man. You're killing it.
Yeah. And if you guys know of anyone or you want to nominate yourselves, just tag us. Tag the figure booth. And when we look for our figure aficionados, it'll be a little bit easier to see who you want to nominate or if you want to nominate yourself.
Yeah, that's a great point. If you guys have a photographer that you think deserves the limelight, send us a DM or let us know in the comments.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we don't see everything. There's probably guys that we're missing that we should be featuring. So I want to make sure we try to spotlight those guys that maybe don't have as huge of a following.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah.
Man, another episode. That brings us to the end, guys. Figure Aficionado is the end. I hope you guys enjoyed what you've either listened to, watched, like the content that we're bringing you here on a weekly basis. Make sure you join our lives every Monday. We try to make that consistent. And make sure you guys check out our site. We got some shirts. You can see Nate has one here. Go out there and support us. It's going to make us keep bringing out content for you guys. So make sure you check out thefigurebooth.com. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, all under Prime to the First. I have been your host. Thank you, guys.
I've been Nate, aka figurefan_Nate. You can follow me on Instagram, TikTok. I'm not going to say Facebook. You can add me as a friend on Xbox, gamertag figfannate. If you want to play some Halo, I'm doing a whole lot of that lately. So if there's any Halo fans out there, join me. Let's go play together. Thanks, everybody, for all your support.
Yeah, thank you, guys. You guys have been listening to The Figure Booth.
See you guys. We'll be right back.